This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
And now, America's number one show on pop culture and politics. This is the Michael Medved Show.
And another great day in this greatest nation on God's green earth. A great day despite the fact that one of our great and central institutions is now all of a sudden the subject of deep, deep, bitter partisan controversy. And I shouldn't say all of a sudden, because this has been developing ever since at the tail end of the Reagan administration. We were dealing with the confirmation of Robert Bork. There were also embattled confirmation fights of two early nominees by Richard Nixon, both of which were actually voted down by the Democrat-controlled Congress. But even in those cases, it wasn't the strict party line that you have right now. One of the things that's shocking about, it seems to me, about the nomination of Ketanji Brown Jackson and the voting on it is it looks like it is going to be a straight party line vote, period, with Susan Collins. And with Susan Collins giving Judge Jackson a very likely confirmation. There's also this raging controversy about Clarence Thomas. It's not really about him. It's about his wife, Ginny Thomas, who has been a longtime conservative activist, and it turns out that the January 6th investigating committee in the House of Representatives, the special committee, has turned up some truly embarrassing emails that she has communicated. So what does it all mean for the court? And what does it mean for Justice Thomas's future on the court? One of the scholars who has been, I think, most fair and informative on this subject is law professor Charles Jay, who is distinguished professor of law at Indiana University. And he teaches and writes in the areas of judicial conduct, ethics, procedure, independence, accountability, and administration. He's the author of Who is to Judge? Judicial Elections, Judicial Appointments, and the Perennial Debate Over Judicial Selection in America. Professor Jay, thanks very much for joining us.
I appreciate it, and thanks for the intro. That was very kind of you.
Oh, again, I appreciate your work and could hardly be more relevant. You, the idea of recusal, there is, as I understand it, no statute law, certainly nothing in the Constitution, specifying when and if a Supreme Court justice has to recuse himself or herself from a given case. It's up to the judgment and discretion of the individual justice. Is that right?
That's partially true. 28 U.S.C. Section 455, and I mention that because the occasional pointy-headed listener might wish to Google that, and you'll get an immediate, you know, pop-up of the statute, says that justices do have to disqualify themselves under specified circumstances, and one of those circumstances is when the justice's impartiality might reasonably be questioned. And a second one, which might apply here, is where the justice has access to disputed facts in a case, personal knowledge of disputed facts in a case. The reason I think you and can fairly sort of say that there really isn't a binding statute is because the language of the statute is fairly broad. When it says, justice, you've got to disqualify yourself when your impartiality might reasonably be questioned, that's kind of potentially a loosey-goosey standard. We have 50 years of precedent to help us with it, but the court isn't subject to a code of conduct or a code of ethics, but it is subject to this congressional statute.
Okay, and would that statute be largely interpreted regarding the spouse of a Supreme Court justice if, say, there was a corporation that had employed that spouse that was all of a sudden involved as a principal in the dispute that they were going to adjudicate?
excellent point. I mean, when there is a financial interest, in other words, where a spouse owns stock in a corporation, for example, that is a party before the court, the Supreme Court justice has no choice but to disqualify. And, you know, I think when you talk about financial conflicts, the court's been pretty good about that. There was a scandal involving lower federal courts recently that the Wall Street Journal reported on where they weren't disqualifying themselves from cases in which they held stock. But the Supreme Court's done a pretty good job with it. That this is a tougher case because it doesn't have to do with Jenny Thomas's financial entanglements. It has to do with her, you know, her work as a conservative activist.
And there is also the implication, is there not, according to the legal setup to which these justices are accountable, that if a spouse is a potential target of a given cause of action, that that judge would certainly have to recuse himself because of his spouse's vulnerability.
Right. In other words, if Jenny Thomas were a party to a proceeding before the court, Justice Thomas would have no choice but to step aside. One of the sort of maddening features of this of disqualification, though, and this is true of the U.S. Supreme Court, is that Justice Thomas is the first and final word on his own disqualification. So that, as currently written, even if Jenny Thomas were a party before the court and Justice Thomas declined to disqualify himself, there would be no procedure in place to do that. That sounds ludicrous, but in a North Carolina Supreme Court decided just a few months ago, justices father was a named party in a case, and he declined to disqualify himself, and there was nothing to be done about it. He explained why, because his father was the president pro tempore of the Senate and you know, involved with legislation that was on the chopping block, and he refused to disqualify himself, and there was no recourse. So I don't think that Justice Thomas would do that. I think that if his spouse were a party, he'd disqualify, but the sad irony is that if he didn't, there's nothing we can do about it other than impeach him.
Okay. Given, by the way, the statement of Judge Carter, David Carter of the district court, who basically suggested that both President Trump and his legal advisor were likely guilty or likely liable to face some kind of prosecution for their efforts to overturn the election. Is it not thinkable, at least, that Jenny Thomas would be involved with some kind of liability in that regard?
You know, it is possible. I don't profess any special expertise there. The focus of my concern is that at a minimum, she is not just someone who is involved on the periphery. She is not someone who is just an activist working, you know, to overturn Obamacare, which was true earlier on, and I was on among those saying I didn't think she needed to disqualify herself simply because she was an he needed to disqualify himself simply because she was an opponent of Obamacare and was working for the Heritage Foundation to see it overturned. This is different because what bothers me is that she is a part of the record right now. I mean, she is her texts were uncovered as part of the January 6th committee's proceedings, and that involvement alone means that, you know, to me, the judge really ought to think twice before he presides, because I got to say, a reasonable member of your audience would look at that and say, not sure how this justice can be fair when his wife is essentially part of the underlying story, even if she is not so much a part of it that she is subject to prosecution. I won't express an opinion on that piece of it, but I don't think I need to say that, you know, the Supreme Court's in trouble right now.
What we will pick up with Professor Jay is, Supreme Court's in trouble. How do you get out of that trouble? And what about the role of John Roberts as Chief Justice? We'll get to that and more with Professor Charles Jay.
more of Michael Medved in a moment.
Washington Policy Center, WPC, is Washington State's champion for free market reforms and is nationally renowned for its effectiveness in an ideologically hostile state. It's led the effort against state and local income taxes. Its research and policy analysis are relied on by lawmakers, media, and citizen activists for accuracy, fresh perspective, and to expose the political manipulation of data. Our state needs WPC more than ever, and we need you to be part of it. Become a member today at WashingtonPolicy.org. Is our country's distinctive power and prosperity the product of some happy accidents or criminal activity, or is it God's hand on America? That's the title, actually, of my most recent book. You can get a hardcover copy, personally signed by me, together with a full audiobook, and it comes to you together with an MP3 player so you can hear it anytime you want. It's all at a reduced price while supplies last. Go to michaelmedved.com, click on the banner for God's Hand on America, look for that audiobook and hardcover book bundle.
Introducing the all-new My Slippers from MyPillow. 2 years in development. Designed to wear indoor, outdoor, all day long. Made with MyPillow foam and impact gel to help prevent fatigue. And made with quality leather suede. For a limited time, you can get 50% off the new My Slippers. They're super comfortable, and you'll like them so much you'll want to get pairs of them for the entire family. Go to MyPillow.com and click on the radio listener's square and use promo code MEDVED. That's promo code MEDVED, M-E-D-V-E-D. You'll also get deep discounts on all MyPillow products, like the Giza Dream bed sheets, the mattress topper, and towel sets. Call right now 1-800-320-6280. That's 1-800-320-6280 and use promo code MEDVED. Or go to the web at MyPillow.com. The all-new My Slippers from MyPillow.
GCN's policy is open forum, avoiding censorship. Defense costs for words spoken outside of our control supersede the ability to deliver voices to this important talk platform. The First Amendment is the foundation of our core values. Cancel culture is silencing voices regardless of perspective. Freedom to speak is in the balance. Support the legitimacy of speech itself. Consider donating to SaveGCN.com. That's SaveGCN.com.
What if people always acted the same way they do when they're driving their cars?
Good morning, Mrs. Blanchard. How may I help you?
I'd like to cash this check.
Sure.
I'll just get my pen.
Come
here.
On, lady. Get a move on.
Goodness.
Where'd you learn to bank anyway?
Ooh.
Whoa. Don't you give me that look.
It sure wouldn't be a very friendly place.
What kind of candy do you want, sweetie?
This. No, this.
Pick something already. Come on, honey. We're holding people up. How about this kind?
No.
What is the matter with you people? If you're not going to do something, I am. Get out of my way.
Every day, drivers and their families all across the country are killed on the roadways because of road rage.
Wasn't it a beautiful wedding?
Oh, yes, and they made such a lovely couple.
Excuse me, is this the receiving line?
Yes, it is.
Hey, he cut in line.
I'm a friend of the bride. Do you know the group?
Hey, pal, you cut in line.
Buzz off.
Oh, yeah?
He hit that nice man.
That'll teach you to cut in line, you jerk.
Stop the senselessness of road rage. It's time we all drive with the same courtesy we extend to people in the rest of our lives. A message from the AAA Foundation for Traffic Safety.
Has your body ever gotten low blood sugar, feeling weak, shaky, knowing you better eat something fast? We all know high blood sugar can lead to many metabolic problems. At GCNteam.com, we have a healthy blood sugar pack, focusing on the structure and function of stable blood sugar. Find us at GCNteam.com or call 877-878-4203. Nothing feels worse than unstable blood sugar. Call 877-878-4203. That's 877-878-4203.
And on the Michael Medved Show, honored to be speaking with Professor Charles Jay, who is Distinguished Professor of Law at Indiana University. And one of the nation's more prominent commentators about legal ethics as they pertain to the Supreme Court. And it's ironic, isn't it, that the nine most important judges in our entire country have fewer
specificity, less specificity in terms of their ethical requirements and regulations than judges at a much less prominent and august level. How did that come to be?
Oh, goodness. I'll be damned if I know. I mean, I just to echo your point, there are 25,000 judicial officers in the United States, and as far as I can tell, 9 of them are not subject to a code of conduct. And those are the most prominent and most important and most powerful judges in the United States and arguably the planet. How it happened, I think, is a weird artifact of history. That the American Bar Association is the one that really designed a model set of judicial conduct rules that all the states adopted. All 50 states had them. The 50 state Supreme Courts and their judges. The lower federal courts have it because the Judicial Conference of the United States governs the lower courts, and they've got it, but the Supreme Court never did. And for the last several years, they've been poked at and poked at and poked at by members of Congress who have introduced legislation saying, come on, guys, establish your own code of conduct. And they have argued we don't need to, that we can consult the lower court code, and that's good enough. And I think that's nonsense because they keep, you know, sort of violating the code of conduct applicable to lower judges, so they're not consulting it closely enough. They need their own code.
Okay, so let's say that doesn't happen, and one of these cases, and there are literally hundreds of them, concerning the January 6th riot. Is it true that, as NPR has reported, legal ethics experts agree Justice Thomas must recuse, they say, in insurrection cases? Would that be your opinion as well?
It is my opinion, and the one thing I will add, because I'm a political centrist, that I note that Richard Painter, who is a Bush guy and an American Enterprise Institute guy also, and who I associate with right of center, were in agreement with me in the center, and I think Steve Gillers, who may be a little to the left of me. But for the most part, I think we are in agreement that this is a different situation than the average one where, yeah, you get a little uncomfortable about the justice presiding. This is, you know, where she's part of the record, part of the case, and that's a little bit different. So, yeah, I think there is a general consensus that he really ought to disqualify himself from this one, from January 6th cases.
What would be your response to people who say, well, this is sexism, pure and simple? Would this happen to a prominent, would it happen to Justice Comey Barrett if there was some implication involving her husband? Is it fair to basically demand a recusal by Justice Thomas? And as you've said, there's really nothing to be done other than impeach him, and impeachment is highly, highly, highly unlikely, don't you think?
Agreed on that score. As to the former question, the way I look at it is, you know, I have been out there saying that Jenny Thomas has every right to be a politically active. The fact that she's, you know, arguably at the fringe doesn't matter to me one little bit. And if all she is doing is advocating for what she's advocating, it could be for Tea Party causes, which it used to be. It could be for, you know, it could be for against Obamacare, which it was before. I have no problem with her doing it, and I have no problem with the Justice Thomas sitting. I mean, it's to say that he's incapable in those circumstances of being fair is a bit like saying you don't get to rep the Duke in North Carolina game because your spouse happens to be a fan of Duke. I mean, I think that people have jobs to do. What makes this different is that she is so closely intertwined with the case itself. She is part of the record. She is involved in the actual dispute. And to me, I think it's a fair thing. One of the terms I like to use or in floating around is you got to use a golden rule gut check. And by that I mean the golden rule is do unto others as you would have them do unto you. And if this were Hillary Clinton's election and she was the one accusing of out there challenging for fraud, and Ruth Bader Ginsburg's husband was involved in, you know, the insurrection movement. Would you feel the same way about, you know, why Ruth Bader Ginsburg shouldn't be sitting over, you know, presiding over a case involving Hillary Clinton's election and over an attempt to essentially overturn the election result in 2016? My attitude there would be exactly the same. I don't think that if Martin Ginsburg were actively involved in the insurrection effort, and were, you know, that he should preside then, that she should preside in that situation. And so, for the same reason, I don't think that sexism has anything to do with it, because I'd feel exactly the same if it were a male, female justice with a male spouse who is part of the record.
What about the idea that there is still some form of legal recourse that is going to result in President Trump's reinstatement before the election of November 2024? Because that appears to be what some people like John Eastman, who we were talking about before, around him seem to be arguing, is that somehow he can appeal to the judicial branch of the government in a way that his representatives haven't been able to do so before to undo the results of the election.
The only thing I will say, and you know, as someone who takes seriously the impartiality and independence of the courts, I point to the fact that Trump appointees, Bush appointees, Obama appointees, Clinton appointees were unanimous in essentially rejecting 60 lawsuits that were trying to overturn the election in the weeks following the 2020 election. And to me, you know, some may argue that that is an exercise of judicial cowardice. I don't think there's any support for that proposition. I think that it shows that when there isn't there on the facts and law, judges do what judges do, which is follow the rules. And so unless and until someone like Eastman can actually demonstrate that there's some there, and he hasn't to this point, and 60 lawsuits haven't to this point, I just don't see that going anywhere.
Well, we shall see, because obviously this is something that President Trump is determined to make a major issue in the upcoming midterm elections. We'd like to check in with you again, Dr. J, and Professor Charles J of Indiana University. We will be right back with Kamala Harris being asked if she agrees with President Biden that Putin must not remain in power. We'll get to the Vice President on that and more coming up on the MedVed Show.
1-800-955-1776. The Michael MedVed Show. That's 1-800-955-1776.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs Generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs Generator and Lung Delivery System at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
G'day, I'm Jamel that works with Dr. Joel Wallach and the GCN team with Youngevity at teamg'day.com. By becoming an associate, you provide income for you and your family on your own hours while working from home. So contact me, Jamel, by filling in the contact box at teamg'day.com, and I will get back to you personally and provide all the support you need to get started and build your Youngevity business. Teamg'day.com. Teamg'day.com.
USA Radio News with Tim Berg.
Police in Sacramento say they have made an arrest in connection with Sunday's mass shooting. The police chief saying Dandre Martin was taken into custody on charge of assault with a firearm and other charges. SWAT members and detectives also served search warrants at three other homes. President Biden is touting efforts to boost the trucking industry and help relieve supply chain gridlocks. Speaking at the White House, Biden cited an ongoing campaign to recruit and retrain qualified truck drivers. The president also once again falsely talks about his truck driving experience.
I used to drive a truck. It's a long story. Anyway, and I thought I was going to get to drive one of these suckers today. But...
The president saying in Minnesota and Pennsylvania that he also was a truck driver, and there's no evidence he was ever a truck driver. USA Radio News.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
Hi, I'm Dr. Joel Wallach, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy. There's no reason why you shouldn't live to be at least 100 and have a great time getting there. And I'm going to give you a free copy of my lecture that tells you exactly how to do it. In fact, after you've lived a long and healthy life, there should be only two documents in your medical chart, a birth certificate and a death certificate. I'm Dr. Wallach with a warning. If you have a 4-inch medical chart, if you take prescription drugs for high cholesterol, high blood pressure, arthritis, joint pains, and other health issues, the medical profession is failing you. They're using you for an ATM machine. My free lecture is going to reveal what pharmaceutical companies don't want you to know. There's been groundbreaking research and discoveries on how to effectively treat or eliminate over 900 different diseases naturally. And it's all in my free lecture called Deadly Recipe. So call toll-free 1-855-79-YOUNG. Again, that's toll-free 1-855-79-YOUNG. 1-855-79-YOUNG.
Breaking news, Sacramento police have arrested a 26-year-old man in connection with yesterday's deadly mass shooting. The city's police chief confirmed Dandre Martin was taken into custody and booked on charges of assault with a firearm and being a prohibited person in possession of a firearm. Police Chief Kathy Lester told KCRA's Channel 3's Ty Steele in an exclusive interview this morning. Okay? Now, let's look at this carefully. I mean, we'll be getting more information soon. But I'm not clairvoyant or anything like that, but I do follow this stuff fairly closely. And you will notice that he is a prohibited person concerning firearms. What does that tell you about him? It tells you, first of all, he should never ever have access to firearms. Secondly, how do you get to be a prohibited person? You get to be a prohibited person by committing felonies, by being involved with a pattern of violence. And this is why one of the biggest issues, and honestly, if they talked about this issue alone and didn't get involved in anything else, just this issue alone, that idea of not following the example of so-called progressive prosecutors and letting people enjoy all kinds of get-out-of-jail-free cards. I mean, that's a reference to Monopoly for the old days. I don't even think they have that anymore. They have it, it would be politically incorrect. But it is not just politically incorrect, it's substantively a complete disgrace that right now And it's not judges right now. It's prosecutors. It's people like the former prosecutor, the former city attorney in Seattle, who in a city that is 85% Democratic. That's the way Seattle votes. Really, it is. Joe Biden got over 80% of the city vote in Seattle. And yet, they just elected, for the first time in a very long time, a city attorney, top prosecutor for the city of Seattle, who's Republican. So far, former candidate for lieutenant governor, and she's great. And that's one of the reasons that people voted that way, because I do believe that most Americans, Democrats, independents, you name it, and certainly all Republicans recognize that there are some people who are simply too dangerous to let out of prison and to pass restrictions on access to firearms for those people, people with extensive criminal records. Of course that's a good idea, but those laws have to be enforced. And they have to be enforced with the enthusiastic approval and support, I would think, of any thoughtful conservative. Speaking of thoughtful people, or maybe not so thoughtful people, we will see today whether, as expected, the House Judiciary, the Senate Judiciary Committee, pardon me, I don't know why I say House, it's the Senate, obviously, but when they are brought together to continue conversation about the nomination of Judge Ketanji Brown Jackson, that when that occurs, that the will be a tie vote on the Judiciary Committee. Doesn't mean there will be a tie vote in the Senate. It'll be close to a tie in the Senate. But one of the things that is so astonishing is this graph that they have in the Wall Street Journal, which basically has just red and blue, and it takes a look at the number of votes that were just purely partisan on judicial nominees going all the way back to Clarence Thomas. Now, Clarence Thomas got a whole bunch of Democratic votes. You know why? Because back in 1991, there were still a lot of Southern Democrats who were much more conservative. But the most recent nominees, it's all the nominees by a Republican president. It's all Republicans, almost no Democrats. And the idea that this actually represents something where Republicans are uniquely guilty, well, who is that? Who says that? A top prosecutor determining guilt or innocence, Whoopi Goldberg. She was on The View. And she was not at all happy about the treatment of Judge Jackson. Listen, this is clip 18.
You know, this is the most ridiculous. Just say, I don't trust a black woman to do the job. Because I know that y'all didn't have these same issues with Amy Coney Barrett. You didn't ask those questions. You didn't have those problems. And when Amy Coney Barrett answered the same way that Judge Ketanji Brown did, when you asked her if you thought they were going to need more people on the Supreme Court, nobody seemed to have a problem with her answer.
No.
But so many of you have problems with Judge Bright. You know what? I know what this is.
Yeah.
We all know what it is. We know what it is. We recognize it. We're used to this. But you know what? You can't take away what this woman is and who she is and what she's done and how she got there. Yeah.
Okay, this is so outrageous. Do you think it was racism that virtually every Democrat in the U.S. Senate, except for a few Southern Democrats, voted no on Justice Thomas? Do you think it was racism that, well, I'm sure they do. They think it was racism when people, other Republicans other than Lindsey Graham, voted no on Sonia Sotomayor? This is partisanship. It's not racism. And how do you say that that's racism when it was actually Democrats, including Joe Biden, who was on the committee, in fact, he was chairman of the Senate Judiciary Committee, concerning Janice Rogers Brown, a former Supreme Court justice in California, to keep her off the court by opposing at one point her nomination for a federal appellate court. This is breaking from the Hill. The Senate Judiciary Committee deadlocked, as expected, on Ketanji Brown Jackson's Supreme Court nomination, the panel's first tie on a high court pick since 1991. That was the year for the Clarence Thomas nomination. Senators voted 11-11 on sending Jackson's nomination to the full Senate, with the vote breaking down strictly along party lines. The evenly split committee is one of the byproducts of the 50-50 Senate. It's the first committee tie vote on a Supreme Court nominee since Justice Clarence Thomas's nomination. Is that because both those justices are black that they're particularly controversial? Don't you think that for people on both parties, they would love to participate in some of the moving symbolism of this nomination? I do. And by the way, I think that some of the people would have preferred to vote yes on Justice Thomas. But it's politics, and the politics has infected the court, because the court, long ago, actually back in the days of the Warren Court, started infecting politics. What they are not saying yet in this little news item I'm sharing with you is that this does not mean that her nomination is dead or is blocked or anything of the kind, because the Senate majority, and here on that one certainly Kamala Harris can vote to discharge her nomination from the committee and send it to the floor for a vote on the floor, where I believe she will have the number of votes she needs for her confirmation. So, speaking of Kamala Harris, what is it she has to say on the future of Putin? We'll get to that.
Pain was very bad, and since I've taken Relief Factor, I've been able to walk normally again, and I was having a hard time walking, and the pain was very bad, and since I've taken Relief Factor, I've been able to walk normally again, and the pain has gone away. I really am walking pain-free, so I just want to recommend this to anyone who has severe pain or any type of pain. It is really a miracle product.
Try Relief Factor. It has worked wonderfully for literally hundreds of thousands, and certainly for me. Go to michaelmedved.com, click on the banner for Relief Factor, and order your own quick start. Nothing to lose but your pain. The whole world to gain. MichaelMedved.com, click on the banner for Relief Factor, or call 833-654-PAIN. Relief Factor. Don't you get tired of commercials screaming at you to buy gold right now with inflated promises on future values? In an unregulated industry, you need honest, real experts to give you solid advice to protect your wealth and give you top picks, too, on the best coins and bullion based on real-time data and historical trends. For example, as environmental policy becomes a hot topic, one precious metal that's been significantly undervalued for years is potentially set to surge. Nick Rovich, owner of AmFed Coin and Bullion, has long recommended this precious metal. Up to 600,000 ounces of this rare metal will be needed by 2030 to produce green hydrogen. Nick is doubling down on this pick, and you should, too. Call Nick to find out more. Now, I've been friends with Nick for several years, and he's my go-to guy when it comes to coins and bullion. I trust him. You can, too. Call Nick at 800-221-7694, AmericanFederal.com. 800-221-7694, AmericanFederal.com.
Tejibo Tea Club's original Pure Pau de Arco Super Tea helps build red corpuscles in the blood, which carry oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate themselves. The immune system needs oxygen to develop, and cancer dies in oxygen. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit shopsupertea.com. The first word is shop, spelled S-H-O-P, then the word super, and then the word tea. The complete website is shopsupertea.com, or call us at 818-984-6100 Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-984-6100. ShopSuperTea.com.
If you're like most Americans, you're pretty much in disbelief with what's going on in the world. As we all know, global problems are having local consequences. Too many of them. And if the peanut butter really hits the fan, are you ready? Grocery store supply chains are only as strong as their weakest link. Don't wait for them to break. Now's the time to secure emergency food for everyone in your family. My Patriot Supply is America's largest preparedness company. Our specially packaged and delicious food stays fresh for up to 25 years in storage. It'll be there when you need it. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com and pick up several emergency food kits. There are a dozen different sizes that average over 2,000 calories per day. Our food kits will ship quickly and discreetly to your door. Having food storage in your home beats government food lines hands down. Go to MyPatriotSupply.com today and prepare for what's coming. MyPatriotSupply.com.
One of the great things about so many of the national security advisors that we've had is that they are, whether you like it or not, on both sides of the aisle, they're brilliant scholars. Henry Kissinger, who was maybe the most famous, most celebrated national security advisor for President Nixon, probably the most famous example of that, but then for President Carter, Zbigniew Brzezinski. And by the way, I think his son may be our current ambassador to Poland, who made some very strong statements. Brzezinski was somebody who knew about the Soviet Union and knew what a source of evil it was. But Brzezinski was a very formidable scholar. So was Dr. Rice. Was a formidable scholar. When she was, before she became Secretary of State, she was National Security Advisor. And that was true of H.R. McMaster, who was the first National Security Advisor for President Trump, one of the most brilliant generals in the Army Officer Corps, and somebody who had written a truly compelling and brilliant book on Vietnam. Now, when it comes to all of that, when you're talking about national security right now and President Biden's confused statement that, my God, this man must not remain in power, there's a terrific column that we will get to by Garry Kasparov, former chess champion of the world and former Russian. He is now a very patriotic American citizen and active in a number of pro-American, pro-patriotic organizations in the United States. He's chairman of the Renew Democracy Initiative. In any event, he has a great column about Putin. But just to understand our foreign policy and the intricacies of it regarding the war in Ukraine, nobody can make it more clear, more forceful, more comprehensible to every American. It's a two-minute answer, which sounds like a lot. This two-minute answer feels like one of those two-hour Trump speeches. But here it is. Kamala Harris lays it on the line.
and just clinches the argument that she's making with a personal declaration at the end. Listen to the golden-tongued Vice President of the United States. Clip 15.
He said that Vladimir Putin should no longer be the leader of Russia. Do you agree?
Listen, I think that you framed the point quite accurately and well, which is America's policy has been and will continue to be focused on the real issue at hand, which is, one, the needs of the Ukrainian people, which we will continue to support through humanitarian assistance, through security assistance, but also ensuring that there's going to be serious consequence for Vladimir Putin and Russian aggression as it relates to Ukraine, which is why our policy from the beginning has been about ensuring that there are going to be real costs exacted against Russia in the form of severe sanctions, which we know are having a real impact and an immediate impact, not to mention the longer-term impact, which is about saying there's going to be consequence and accountability when you commit the kinds of atrocities that he is committing. And I think the president has been an extraordinary leader. To your point, Joy, I've been to Poland, I was in Romania, I've been to Europe, I think, probably at least three times in the last 4 months. I was in Munich, Germany, where I gave a speech at the Munich Security Conference. I was in France before that, speaking with heads of state about this issue, among many other issues, but most recently about this issue. And I will tell you, in sitting down with prime ministers and presidents, often the first thing they would say to me is thank you to the United States and this administration for bringing us together, for building the coalition, for reinvigorating the relationship between the United States and its NATO allies, reinvigorating the relationship and the importance of the relationship to the EU in terms of an issue like Ukraine, which is ultimately about one of the most important principles that we are fighting for, which is the importance of sovereignty and territorial integrity.
Okay, do you remember the question? Now, I'm talking about you in the audience. Because the question wasn't complicated and twisty and involved or tricky. The question was, do you agree with the president when he said that, my God, that man must not stay in power? Meaning Vladimir Putin. And she didn't even give a maybe answer. She didn't even explain why she couldn't answer it. She talked about her trip to Munich and her trip to Poland. I've been to Poland. Well, that'll do. Now I understand. I get exactly where you're coming from. You've been to Poland. Isn't that great? I mean, she finally made it to the border, too. Remember that? I mean, this is alarming because, again, there's a traditional prayer that has been in modern Jewish prayer books, Orthodox, Conservative, Reform Jewish, where you pray for the health of the president. And whoever it is, whether the president is Joe Biden or whether it's Donald Trump or whether it's Barack Obama, whoever it is, you pray for the health of the president. Honestly, I do wish for President Biden's health, given the position of the Vice President of the United States. And by the way, this is the most ridiculous thing. There are Republicans, just as it was ridiculous when people talked about Trump this way. Do you remember people talked about Trump using the 25th Amendment as sort of indicating he's non compos mentis, he's not right in the head, he's somehow can't discharge his duties? And people said, well, look at Trump and the crazy things he says, and he can't do it. The 25th Amendment is not possible to invoke, really, and it's designed that way because they don't want some kind of palace coup. You have to have the vice president going along with you, and then you need to have 10 different cabinet members who've been appointed by the president who certify, sign a document, say no, he can't do his job. And then on top of that, you have to have approval of both houses of Congress. Now, do you really think that's going to go? for anybody. It was designed really for people like Woodrow Wilson, who had a stroke while he was president of the United States and was totally incapacitated. He couldn't talk. And he couldn't even sign bills. He was in bad shape. He got better later. But when that's what the 25th Amendment is made for, and people should keep that in mind. There is this, and it's Garry Kasparov, who I mentioned, former Russian chess championship. He says, Mr. Biden's age may be a negative for some, but he remembers the Cold War. Gaffe or not, his remark about he can't remain in power reflected accurate instincts. Mr. Putin must go. But the war in Ukraine is also a distraction from his flailing domestic agenda. It's hard to talk about economic and social issues in the U.S. when a real war is leading the news every night. So who in Washington is calling the shots on Ukraine? If the Biden administration wants Ukraine to win, someone in the White House should say it and do what is necessary to make it possible. If the U.S. is offering deals to Mr. Putin or pressuring Ukraine to accept anything less than sovereignty over 100% of its territory, we should know. Tactical ambiguity can be useful, but a lack of strategic and moral unity and consistency leads to catastrophe. Mr. Putin's Russia, says Garry Kasparov, is a bankrupt gas station run by a mafia that prefers to spend its time and money in London and New York. Offering any carrots to these war criminals would set the stage for a return to the appeasement and corruption that brought us to this deadly phase. It would also shake the foundation of collective defense in the region. As Latvian Defense Minister Artis Patrikas said to me last week, we are afraid not of Russian tanks, but of Western weakness. The outcome in Ukraine, writes Garry Kasparov, will define a new world order for good or ill. Taiwan and China are watching closely. Xi Jinping's natural alliance with his fellow dictator is looking less attractive after the free world's outpouring of support for Ukraine. The U.S. can restore its leadership of the free world, or it can lead from behind while democracy continues to lose ground. The West fell asleep when the Cold War ended. Ukrainians are sacrificing everything to shake President Biden, the White House, and the world awake. The role of this greatest nation on God's green earth.
Have you heard about vine-to-bar chocolate? It's the winemaker's chocolate, the world's first chocolate made with well-vined Chardonnay marc from the beautiful coastal vineyards of North America. Gently pressed grapes are harvested after juicing, dried and finely milled, and carefully blended into the finest dark chocolate. The Chardonnay marc contains highly beneficial grape nutrients, flavanols, and has a natural sweetness that flavors the luscious dark chocolate. Mouthwatering, flavorful, delectable dark chocolate goodness with Chardonnay sweetness and beneficial nutrients, and its alcohol free too. It's Vine to Bar Chocolate. Order some today at vinetobar.com. That's VINETOBAR.com. Cold shipped to your door, it's Vine to Bar. Vine to Bar Chocolate. Visit us at vinetobar.com.
The first 10 amendments to our country's Constitution were adopted in 1791. The first of these broadly protects the rights of free speech and free press. Free speech means the free and public expression of opinions without censorship, interference, and restraint by the government. 231 years later, free speech across America is under chronic and insidious attack. GCN is under attack. Your freedom is currently under siege from those who do not want you to know the truth. I'm asking our fellow broadcasters and you to rise up and help us defend our right to continue telling you the truth. Would you like to join us? If so, please consider visiting SaveGCN.com. That's SaveGCN.com. From there, you can learn more about what's happening. You may click Follow, Share, Give, and Pray. I'm Vincent Finelli.